As I was preparing this message this week, as we take the chance to look back over the last little while of our ministry here at Ngawi Baptist Church, as we celebrate all that God has done in us and through us and with us, I thought it'd be great to get a couple of people up and to talk about their experiences of life here as a part of Ngawi Baptist Church. And so I asked Darcy and Elise if they would come up and have a little chat. Because you guys have been at Ngawi now for pretty much a year, is that right?
Yeah, just over a year. We started coming at the start of last January. So.
And you guys got married when?
September 1st last year.
It's pretty exciting. You guys, you know, come. You've been Christians for a long time.
Yeah.
And got together, got married. Just before that, started to invest your life here. Yeah. What brought you to Ngawi?
It started off, we felt a little bit kind of disconnected from our old church. Just things that sort of happened there. We just didn't feel like we fit in there anymore in terms of where that community was going in their faith and things like that. So we started looking for other places to go, and we came to Ngawi because we knew a few people here and then liked it, so we kept coming.
So community is a big deal for both of you. The opportunity to come and to invest your life, that's a big deal for you, Elise?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why we stayed at Ngawi. We'd actually planned on spending a bit more time church hunting. We actually didn't ever make it anywhere else. So we came to Ngawi once and then kind of hung around, and here we are a year later. And I think that was what really drew us to Ngawi. We felt at home here, and we felt like the church was alive and the community was strong, and that was really what kept us coming back and then kept us here since then.
What about you, mate? Things that kept you here beyond community, what was the things that...
I think the things that sort of stood out for us when we first came were the teaching that we were hearing each week was... it was very biblical and at the same time very passionate. And I think those are the two things that we really were looking for in terms of letting us kind of grow as Christians at church. Being able to hear a group of people speaking about, like, from the Bible, about Jesus and about God's work. And doing it really enthusiastically in a way that made us enthusiastic as well. I think when each time we went home from church, we were talking about how awesome it felt after being at church, which I think was something that we had missed. And then the fact that everyone in the congregation was so welcoming and really eager to come and see us, but not in a in-your-face kind of way.
Mate, no one can get in your face.
That's true.
You are ginormous. Yeah,
for Elise, though, so, you know. That's a problem she has. So. It was really good.
People who are down at a normal kind of height.
That's right. Yeah. No, it was really good to be able to talk really comfortably with people that we hadn't met, because they were genuinely interested in what we were doing and what was happening with us. And that was something that really struck us as a godly element to have in a community.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's encouraging to hear that, isn't it? That as a community of faith, two young people turn up and feel loved and embraced and welcomed, where they feel like they've got a chance to grow. For you guys, you haven't just kind of stayed sitting in the pew. You guys have pretty quickly jumped on board and began to serve here. Why?
Because it's fun. No. I think we had a few people... particularly towards the end of last year, talked to us about getting more involved in the church, and talking to us about them feeling like that would be something that we would be up for and that we would be good at. And I think that was actually really encouraging for us. I think had those people not spoken to us directly, we might have spent a bit more time hanging back. But we felt really encouraged by that. And we feel really excited about this year. Darcy and I are going to be leading a 1023 home group with the lovely Miss Lauren Smith. And we feel really excited about that. We feel really excited about being able to serve in that way and to getting to know new people and all of that kind of stuff. I also started singing a few weeks ago as well, which was horrendously nerve-wracking, but I really, really loved, and that's a huge thing for me, to be involved with music and in music ministry. So those are the new things, and we're excited about being more involved.
Well, we love having you guys here. We thank God that you guys are here and that you're serving. So I'd like to thank these guys. Thanks, guys. I love hearing stories like that. I love this church. We're a church that's passionate about reaching people for the gospel. We're a church that's passionate about building community and embracing people. You know, I'm excited for what 2013 has on offer for us as a whole church. I'm desperate to see what God will do in us and through us and with us for His glory, for His name's renown. But I think if we're going to reach our potential in 2013, if we're going to truly look to God and see His blessing poured out, I think there's a few things that we just need to remind ourselves of. We need to again take hold of our church vision and really start to understand it, to own it, to embrace it, in fact, to live it, just one step further. So as we do that, as I've been preparing this message, I thought it would be great for us just to stop and to look at the four key things that God is calling for us as a community of faith to take hold of. Just works in beautifully because there's four things that are part of our church vision. It's not really surprising that they're two linked. The first one is that we need to know Christ. Know Him. Know His character. And know what He has done for us and who we are in Him. Paul beautifully puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Isn't that beautiful? All of us need to know Christ. Know again what He has done for us. Each one of us dead in our own sins, our own transgressions, caught in this cycle where we tried to place ourselves Lord, where we chose not to follow the way that God would have us live, but in fact following the way that we just desire. You know, the way where we're in charge, that we're in control. That just leads to death. And while we were still living in that way, God in His mercy came. He came and He rescued us. Each one of us took us from death and brought us to life. That we need to know time and time again. We need to know it because it has to be the formation, the very foundation of all that we do. If we are going to be a community that indeed reaches all that we desire in Christ, that can never change. That knowledge, that wonderful gift of grace for broken people like you and for me. And you know what's unbelievable? That not only God takes our sins and washes us clean, but he transforms us in him. And we need to know who we are in him every day. Paul puts it this way in verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. A little earlier in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 5, he puts it like this. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We're no longer sinners. We are children of the living God, adopted into his family, seated next to our King, where we reign with him. That's our new self. That's our new identity. Sons and daughters of the living God, adopted. I mean, that's the greatest gift that we could ever receive, is it not? Friends of mine, they went on a program to become foster parents. And the greatest gift that God could have given them was a very small baby whose mother was addicted to drugs, whose dad was an alcoholic and had left. And the ward came in, the state came in and placed this child into foster care. This child who could have been raised in a terrible state, now being given into a family where they love her, where they've embraced her as their own, where they treat her the same as every other child in the family, where this child knows unimmeasurable love, unconditional love. That's a beautiful story, and it's nothing in comparative to what God has done for us. New identity. We are sons and daughters of the living God, and we need to keep hold of that. If we are to truly reach our potential in God, if we are to truly reach his vision, then we need to know that time and time again. We need to be preaching that to ourselves every day. We've been saved by grace, that we are now his children in his world for his glory. Do you know it? Do we preach it to ourselves? I pray that we do. That is the bedrock if we are to move on and to truly grow in Christ, which indeed is a second component in which we need to grab hold of. The chance to grow in Christ. Grow in our character. Grow in our knowledge. Grow in him. Paul in 2 Corinthians puts it this way. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Each of us, we need to seek to grow in God. Grow in our love of him, absolutely. But truly grow in our character. Saved by grace, absolutely. Washed clean, totally. Free from guilt, absolutely. But we keep on sinning, do we not? Do we keep falling? Yeah, we do. But what's so glorious about this passage is that God in his mercy doesn't leave us just in a state of flux, going, okay, great, we're saved, isn't this wonderful? God does the hard work through and in us on transforming our character to be more like Christ. The chance for each of us to truly embrace who we are in God, embrace our identity and be transformed by him. Little by little. And so that we, our character, may be that of Christ. Where our lives are marked by love, by joy, by peace, by patience, by kindness, by goodness, by faithfulness, by gentleness and self-control. That's our new character. We need to seek to grow in Him, transformed by Him, for His glory. You know, it's encouraging as I meet with so many of you here in our church to see God at work, God transforming character, taking people who are prideful and humbling them to a place where they can there confess their own selfishness and their own desires before the Lord and saying, I can't be that person anymore. People who are struggling with lust, who have battled and battled and battled, and now we're finally starting to be free of this guilt. Telling me stories of how they take, every time they have a lustful thought in their mind, that they take it physically and say, Lord, take this thought and kill it. That's bold and courageous. And through the power of His Spirit, lives are being transformed here in our church. People are growing in their character. People are growing to be more like Christ. But it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts just a little bit. Actually, it stings a lot. As Christ tears off our old skin, our old sinful nature, and patches us up to be more like Him. It hurts. And this is the moment for us where we need to be courageous. In 2013, we need to be courageous in allowing God to transform us as individuals and us as a church. To be transforming us to be more like Him, regardless of the pain that it may be. Because in the end, it's for our good and God's glory. How do we do that? I think a key way that we do that is, as we seek to grow in God, is to sit under His Word. And as we sit under His Word, we sit under it with an openness of spirit, an openness of heart, and a willingness to have God change us. As we have our devotional times, as we read the Scripture for ourselves, we pray beforehand, God, change me. For Your glory and my good, change me. As we meet together in home groups, as we gather around God's Word and have fellowship with one another, as we study God's Word together, through accountability and through help and prayer from others, may we sit under God's teaching and be transformed. And when we come here on a Sunday, we come with hearts ready. Ready to meet with God, to hear God, and willing to walk out changed. That's our challenge in 2013. To grow in our character, to be more like Him, for His glory and our good. Thirdly, people who know and who grow in Christ, as Darcy and Elise have done, we serve. We seek to serve God with all that we have. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 4. Each one should use whatever gift he receives to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God saves us, and He transforms us, but He equips us to serve. We can't just sit and be pew watchers. God transforms us to be more like Him and to pour out ourselves for His glory. We see it in the picture of Jesus, do we not? God Himself entering into human history, pouring out His life in service of us. And so as His followers, as His brothers and sisters, we are to live likewise, pouring out our lives for service of God. That's key here. We serve because God equips us to serve. Each one of us here, God has equipped us with unique gifts and talents and skill sets to serve Him and His kingdom. He just calls us to faithfully use those gifts to serve Him. But secondly, here, it's pretty clear that as we seek to serve, we don't do it for our own glory. We do it for the glory of God. We don't serve to make our name great, for people to look upon us and say, wow, what a faithful servant. But we do it so that people see the glory of God. How do they see the glory of God? Well, as we pour out our lives in service, people stop and they actually see the redemption that we have in Jesus. They see that people who were once selfish, who come to a place of selflessness, pouring out their lives in service of others, and they see the power of the gospel. That is glorifying God. And by His grace, maybe too, they seek to know Him more. Our church is full of servant-hearted people. I was talking to Robin this week, and she was telling me about the need for scripture teachers in Hannon's Row Public School. And Bronwyn Hubble has been serving in that ministry for a long time, faithfully pouring out her life and teaching kids the gospel, particularly in one of the hardest, one of the poorest and most difficult primary schools in our area. I asked Robin, I said, how long has Bronwyn been doing it for? 20 years. No one would hardly know. 20 years, one woman going into a school and teaching children about Jesus. Going about her business, not parading it around, just faithfully serving God. That makes God look good. That makes God look glorious. I could list person after person after person in this church who pour out their lives in service of God. And it's extraordinary and it should be celebrated. But it can't leave us with a feeling of comfort. It doesn't leave us in a place where we can sit and say, well, someone else is doing it. Now, as Christians, as people who know and who trust in the Lord Jesus, people who are being transformed by His Spirit are called to pour out their life in the glory of God, not seeking their own fame, but God's. Will we do that again this year? In fact, will we take it up a notch? Will all of us seek to serve God regardless of the cost? Will we invest our time, our effort for God's glory? The fourth key component of our vision, the fourth key marker that God is calling us to, is to share. We are to know God, we are to grow in Him. We are to serve Him and we are to share the greatest news the world could ever hear. And we see that most clearly in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the end of the age." As a community of God, as His people, we are called to go out and make what? Converts? Converts where we can kind of come back and put another number down and go, man, we're doing a great job. Now God says to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Friends, we are called as a church to pour out our lives in sharing the message of Jesus. Not so that people would just know Jesus and then sit in their lives and say, well, okay, I'm a Christian, I've got my Willy Wonka golden ticket into heaven. Now God says, invest your life into them, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded them. Disciple them, teach them, journey with them, encourage them, help them grow, and through my Spirit I am with you always. This isn't done in our own strength. This is done by the power of God at work in us and through us, His redeemed people. I see that all over our church. People that are coming out of Alpha course, meeting up with other people from our congregation just to read the Bible. Not yet Christians, still in their time of searching and discovering. And people willing to give up their time during the week, not for any other reason than to sit with them and to pray with them and to read the Bible with them and to teach them more of who Jesus is. Genuinely investing their lives for God's glory. That's what we're called to. Each one of our ministries is dedicated to making disciples. Whether that's our kids program, whether that's our youth program, whether that's our young adults, our adults ministries, and all the variations in between. Our focus is to make disciples. To see people come to Christ, but to grow in their knowledge, to grow in their understanding, and to pour out their lives for the good of the glory of God. Friends, this is what we're called to. And by God's grace, this church has been faithful in these tasks for a long time. We celebrate that. But surely in 2013, we can take it one step further. Surely 2013 can be the year that we dive in further, where we pour out our lives all the more. Let's make this year the chance to be bold and courageous, unswerving in our understanding and knowledge of Christ. May this year we be passionate and courageous in allowing God to grow us, to knock off some of the rough edges, some of our sinful nature. Let's make this year the chance where we faithfully serve Christ in all that we do, regardless of the cost. Let's this year be bold in sharing God with a broken world. And let's do it all for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are at work in us and through us. And Lord, we pray that we would continue to be your community, faithful to your calling, faithful to your vision. Lord, help us to know you, to grow in you, to serve you, and to share you in this world. Lord, we seek to make your name great. Amen.